الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم في جنات يتساءلون عن المجرمين ما سلقكم في سقر قالوا لم نك من المصلين ولم نك نطعم المسكين وكنا نخوض مع الخائضين وكنا نكذب بيوم الدين حتى أتانا اليقين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي صدق الله مولانا العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين My dear respected elders and brothers, in the ayats which I have recited before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of a dialogue that takes place between the Jannatis and the Jahannamis. In the Quran, many places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of dialogues. Dialogues between Jannatis and the Jahannamis. Dialogues between the Jahannamis amongst themselves. Like in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ مَوْقُوفُونَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يَرْجِعُ بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ الْقَوْلِ That those that will be in Jahannam or will be heading towards Jahannam or destined for Jahannam, they will begin to argue amongst themselves. Like in the dunya too, when things are going right, then everybody says, I'm doing it, you know. But when things are going wrong, then we say, no, it's because of you and because of you. We want to blame one another. Now they're in Jahannam or they're heading towards the fire of Jahannam, so they want to blame one another for it. So at that time, يَرْجِعُ بَعْضُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ الْقَوْلِ The one will try to blame the other. يَقُولُ الَّذِينَ اسْتُدْعِفُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا لَوْلَا أَنْتُمْ لَكُنَّا مُؤْمِنِينَ So the weaker ones, or what you can say, those that were, who were following the trends of the society, or the trends that were set by certain people, they will blame those people. You find certain people in the societies are trendsetters. And the others are trend followers. So those that were the trend followers and those that followed all the fashions, etc., which were propagated and promoted, they will say to those people, the lola antum lakunna mu'mini. If you people didn't entice us and encourage us in the wrong direction, then we would have been Muslims. We would have been obedient to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because you people led us into the wrong direction. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتُدْعِفُوا أَنَحْنُ صَدَدْنَاكُمْ عَنِ الْهُدَىٰ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَكُمْ That, why are you blaming us? Those that are the trendsetters, you know, the haughty ones, the proud ones, those that were promoting all the evil in the community and in the society, or we can say all the celebrities, And the stars, you know, either you can call them the falling stars or whatever it is, all the stars and all the trendsetters, they will say, no, why are you blaming us? أَنَحْنُ صَدَدْنَاكُمْ عَنِ الْهُدَىٰ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَكُمْ بَلْ كُنْتُمْ مُجْرِمِينَ or بَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُجْرِمُونَ We'll say to them that, why are you blaming us? We didn't stop you from Hidayat. We only showed you a system. You accepted it. You followed it. So why are you blaming us today? See, you were wrong yourself. You were a transgressor yourself. The truth was there before you. The laws of Allah and the sunnah tariqah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there before you. Today you are blaming us for it. So, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتُدْعِفُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا بَلْ مَقْرُ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ إِذْ تَأْمُرُونَنَا أَن نَكْفُرَ بِاللَّهِ وَنَجْعَلَ لَهُ أَنْدَادًا. They say, no, but the weaker ones will say, those that were following, the followers, they will say that, no, it is because of your promoting and your propagating of those trends and those fashions, we got caught up with that. And we started following you and now we are in this problem. وَأَسَرُّ النَّدَامَةَ They will be covered with what you can say, remorse. When they will see the punishment and the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be worried and concerned. They will not know what to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we will put a yoke around their necks and they will be dragged to the fire of Jahannam. So this is one example of a dialogue that will take place between Jahannamis amongst themselves. But the ayats of the Quran which I recited before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fi jannati yatasa'alun. This will be a dialogue between the jannati and the Jahannami. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we all enter into Jannah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the fire of Jahannam. Say a jannati will be sitting in Jannah, and perhaps the mother is looking for the daughter, or the daughter is looking for the mother, or the father is looking for the son, son is looking for the father. Maybe a very close friend of yours, who you associated very much with in the world, you're busy looking for him in Jannah, and you don't see him there. Then you ask yourself, where is that friend of mine? Or the father is saying, my son, I educated him so well, I did this for him and I did that for him, I don't see him here in Jannah now. What has happened to him? So at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the opportunity of seeing into Jahannam, of peeping into Jahannam. He will be sitting in Jannah, but he will look into Jahannam and he will see the person he is looking for sitting in Jahannam and suffering there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from it. Not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the opportunity and the ability to have a dialogue with him. And that is when فِي جَنَّاتِ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا سَلَقَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. That the jannati will ask that person sitting in Jahannam, perhaps the father asking the son, or the mother asking the daughter, whoever it is, oh my son, oh my daughter, what has happened? I am sitting here in Jannat, you are in Jahannam. What is the reason for you being there in Jahannam? I educated you, I gave you everything. You knew right from wrong, but today you are sitting in Jahannam, I'm sitting here in Jannah. Likewise, perhaps your friends also, we are so associated in the world, but today you are separated. So then the reply will come from there. Fi jannati yatasa'alun anil mujrimin ma salakakum fi saqar. The first thing that they will say is, qalu lam naku minal musallin. The reply will come from that side. And they will say that we were from amongst those that were neglectful of the 5-time daily salah. We were very unmindful about our salah. One of the first things that a person will be taken to task for on the day of Qiyamah is his 5-time daily salah. أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ فَإِنْ سَلُحَ سَلُحَ سَائِرُ عَمَلِي وَإِنْ فَسَدَ فَسَدَ سَائِرُ عَمَلِي أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the first thing for which a person will be taken to task on the day of Qiyamah is his salah. The first thing for which you will be taken to task in the qabr will be your taharat, your wudu, your ghusl, etc. But the first thing for which you will be taken to task on the day of Qiyamah is your salah. After the separation of iman and kufr, and the separation of people of iman and kufr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then take you to task for your 5-time daily salah. And each one of us can ask ourselves how mindful we are of our salah. How many of us are sitting with years of qazas on our head? Whereas Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. The first thing for which you will be taken to task on the day of Qiyamah is your 5-time daily salah. If your salah is in order, the rest of your accountability will be very easy for you. The rest of your amals will be in order. Even in this world too, if a person is particular about his salah, all his other work and activity is in place also. But when a person is not particular about his salah, then you find the rest of his work also is in disarray. He's always mixed up, he's always confused. A person has to be particular with his salah in order to gain the direct help and assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on the day of Qiyamah, one of the first things you are going to be questioned about is your salah. If your salah is in order, everything else will be in order. But if your salah is not in order, then you will have a very difficult accountability. You will be taken to task very strongly for the rest of your deeds. And you will have a very difficult time, even in this world, setting right your affairs. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man fatathu salatun, فَكَأَنَّمَا وُطِرَ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ." A person who misses just one salah. Many a times you find amongst the people, very common also, I am late for salah, never mind, I'll make it qaza. To make a salah qaza is very, very, very severe. Without a valid excuse, it's a severe guna and sin. Unnecessarily, without any valid excuse. Like once in the madrasa, we asked one of the boys, you know, in the hifz class, did you read your Fajr Salah? Sometimes we asked them with regard to their Salah. So one boy said, no, we couldn't read our Zohar Asr. It was a Sunday and they went somewhere, so they couldn't read the Zohar Asr Maghrib or Isha Salah. And they went for one of those shows or whatever it is. And he says very, very lightly, very easily, he said, no, when I came back home, we made qaza of all the namaz. We made qaza when we came home, we just read the namaz. So it's like a very light thing. We take making qaza of salah to be very light. You see. So man fatatu salatun, a person who loses just one salah. فَكَأَنَّمَا وُطِرَ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ. It is as though he has lost his entire family and all his belongings. Imagine a person going back home and he finds his entire home is burned down. At the same time, his business is destroyed. His entire family is lost. Like what had happened in the tsunami when it took place. You find an entire family is destroyed. You find the entire family is destroyed. An entire family is destroyed. Only one person is left. He's got no home. He's got no family. He's got nobody. Imagine what goes through the mind and the heart of that individual. Having nothing left. No family, no business. Nothing to fall back onto. Worse than that is a person who misses just one salah. And today we take it so lightly. So many homes you'll find, there is no Fajr salah for days on end. Many persons you speak to, they will tell you the last Fajr salah they read was on Eid day. Ask the children in the madrasa and they will tell you. Many a times we're encouraging the children in the madrasa that you know what, you must read your salah and you must read your Fajr salah, etc. But then we realize it is so difficult to talk to that little child because the father and mother, perhaps the last Fajr they have read is on Eid day. So we are so unmindful of our salah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regard to your children has mentioned that when your son is 7 years or your child is 7 years old, command him to perform his salah. When he's 10 years old, you must even reprimand him and make him read his salah. Now this hadith is not for the child. This hadith is for the parent. On the day of Qiyamah, you will be taken to task for every salah that your child missed from the age of 7. Every salah that your child missed from the age of 7, you are going to be taken to task for it. MashaAllah, you'll find Fajr time, or even sometimes from before Fajr, some fathers are already in the masjids. Particular with the tahajjud salah, etc. But when they walked out of that house, they have left an entire family fast asleep. They concerned about their salah only. They're not worried and concerned about the salah of the wife and the baligh daughter that is at home and the baligh sons that are at home. They're not concerned about it. They're very happy and pleased. They read the tahajjud salah. They have performed the fajr salah. They go back home. There's no reprimand whatsoever from their side. Some homes you go, imagine the entire home, father, mother, at times grandfather, granny, everybody fast asleep at the time of Fajr. And then you sit and you wonder, where is all this musibat and the calamities coming from? In the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any difficulty they had, immediately they used to resort to salah. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. He used to recite this verse of the Quran. He used to command his family that become particular about the salah. This is over and above the 5 times daily salah. Any problem, resort to 2 rakats of nafil salah or to the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through that, they used to resolve the problems. They used to solve all the problems. Now, what can you imagine of that individual who doesn't even have the farz salah in his life? He doesn't have the basic command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his life. See, from amongst the greatest of arrogance, the greatest of pride and arrogance is that a person hears the azan and he walks past the masjid without performing the salah. That is the greatest arrogance in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you heard the azan and you did not perform your salah. Now you are saying that your work is more important, your appointment is more important, your outing is more important than that appointment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has with you. What an arrogance that is on your part. So the first reply that will come, they will say, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُسَلِّينَ. We were from amongst those who were so neglectful of the salah. We were unmindful of our salah. In one hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ حَافَظَ عَلَيْهَا. Whoever is particular about his salah. In the Quran, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَقِيمُ salah. You know, establish your salah. Or hafidhu ala salawat. Be protective over your salah. Look after your salah. In other words, the correct performance of it. Performing your salah on time. Making sure you are reading salah with jamaat. That's the other issue as well. That many persons feel, I'm reading my namaz, it's okay. Where I read my salah doesn't matter. But for men folk, it is wajib to read your salah with jamaat in a masjid. In the kitab, in the fiqh kitab, you will find certain excuses or certain reasons which excuses you from salah with jamaat. Besides those reasons, you are not excused from salah with jamaat in the masjid. You have to make an effort in order to make sure that you read your salah with jamaat. Imagine a sahabi like Abdullah ibn Maktum, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, blind sahabi. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, oh Nabi of Allah, at times I do not find somebody to lead me to the masjid. So it's difficult for me to come for salah with jamaat. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, okay, you excused. But as he was going, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls him back. And he asks him, oh Abdullah, do you hear the azan? He says, yes, I can hear the azan. He said, then you are not excused. You still have to come to the masjid. Imagine a blind sahabi. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling him this. And what excuse do we have? Fast asleep at the time of Fajr. We find it so difficult to come to the house of Allah for the Salatul Fajr. You find many a homes already by Isha time. The doors are locked, the gates are locked, the alarms are set. And we lock the homes to such an extent. You know, we made such provisions that we are only going to get up now at 8 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning or in school time, and we had no intention whatsoever to get to the masjid for Fajr Salah. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Man hafad alayha kanat lahu noora wa burhana wa najatan yawm al qiyamah. That whosoever is protective over his salah, the salah will be a source of celestial light for him, noor for him on the day of qiyamah. وَبُرْهَانَ وَنَجَاتًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. It will be a source of argument for him, a source of intercession for him, and a means of salvation for him on the day of Qiyamah. وَمَنْ لَمْ يُحَافِظْ عَلَيْهَا. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on further to say that whosoever is not protective over his salah, he's not bothered about it, sometimes performs, sometimes doesn't perform his salah, he's not fully, you know, conscious of it, he will have no noor on the day of Qiyamah. وَلَا بُرْهَانَ وَلَا نَجَاتًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He will have no means of intercession, nothing to argue in his favor. And he will have no means of salvation on that day. Further, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَكَانَ مَعَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَأُبَيْ بْنِ خَلَفٍ. His hashar and his rising up will be with people who like Fir'aun, Haman and Ubay ibn Khalaf, the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us become conscious of salah. Unfortunately, this is a, you know, today we want, they say you must speak on the current issues. Current issues. This is a current issue. Your Asr namaz that is coming now is a current issue for you. The Fajr namaz that you missed already is a current issue with you. These are the things, these amals, if we become particular about, it will solve all the other issues. But we are not prepared to do that which Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam want us to do. This is your basic command. The basic commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are so worried about other issues and other aspects. But the basic command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are so neglectful about. When the child is 5 years old and 4 years old, then mashallah, the mother will dress him up very nicely, put one nice turban for him, or you find that scarf and long kurta, everything, and send him with the father to the masjid. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't send your children to the masjid, when they little babies and little children, don't bring them to the masjid, then the mother will send the child with the father to the mosque. And poor father too can't say no, because mother will bring the ceiling down, so he can't say no also. So he takes the child. Now he makes a mess or he makes a noise in the masjid, etc. And he's feeling shy, whatever it is, but somehow he brings the child and come. But now when the child is 7 years of age, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, command your children to perform their salah, then the mother will say, no, we've got a lot of homework to do. He has to go for tuition. He's got this project to do. Now when it is time for the father to bring the child to the masjid, then we're concerned and worried about other things. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't bring them and come to the masjid, we bring them and come. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, now bring them and come, then we leave them at home. And then we come and we say, Mawli sahab, make dua, my son is so disobedient, and my son doesn't listen to me. We have been disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we expect our children to become obedient to us? The dua that we make, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina, قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنِ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. That, oh my Allah, make my family and my children obedient. You know, make them the coolness of my eyes. Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi say, coolness of my eyes means that you see your children in the obedience to the commandment of Allah. So you should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh my Allah, make my children obedient to you. Many parents make dua, oh my Allah, make my children obedient to me. They go to the Mawli sahab also and they say, oh my Allah, Mawli sahab, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes my children obedient to me. We must make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes our children obedient to Allah. Because in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be obedient to you also. So Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi say, qurrata ayun means, you see your children in the ibadat of Allah, in the obedience to Allah. Now how will your children be in the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you never train them on salah? You never train them on the ibadat of Allah. You yourself were so neglectful of salah. Many a homes you go to, there's strife, there's problems between husband and wife. There's fighting that is taking place. Husband and wife boom banging one another. You ask them, no fajr in the house. There's no namaz in the house. There's no tilawat of Quran in the house. You see? They say there is no such a thing as darkness. Actually, darkness is the absence of light. When you introduce light, automatically darkness goes away. And you take the light away, automatically darkness comes in. So if there is no salah in your home, there is no tilawat of the Quran in your home, and the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not there, the light has been taken away. Noor has been taken away. Automatically darkness comes in there. And that is when all the problems come about. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us an understanding. It is a simple but yet a very, very important issue in our lives. We have to become particular about our salah. Not only that, we have to command our families, command our women and our children that they become particular with the 5-time daily salah. And also a namazi is not one who reads some namazes for the day. A namazi, a musalli is not one who reads some namazes for the day. is a person who reads 5 times daily salah. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you miss one salah, just one for the day also. If you miss, it is as though you've lost your entire family and all your belongings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.